You know, I was thinking about those songs that we just sung. Of course, 350, Jesus, Hold My Hand. And then 372, which I thought was pretty interesting. Just a little closer walk with thee. And as we were singing those songs, it caused me to think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And I thought about that idea of a yoke from a metaphoric perspective. In other words, hold on to the Lord's hand. Take on his mindset. If we're going to continue to be encouraged, to be exhorted, we have to hold on to the one sent from heaven. This morning, we was talking about words of exhortation from the pulpit and making God's choices. And when we read God's word and we allow the word of God to direct and guide us, Proverbs 3:5, that is God making our choice, but we're making the choice that God would make. And so tonight I wanted us to kind of talk about some of the things that we talked about this morning, and I wanted to hear some of your thoughts. And the reason why is because when we think about words of exhortation, words of encouragement, words of instruction, words of persuasiveness or persuasive address, if you will, it should cause us to really ponder and think about, what direction is the Lord taking me? What direction is the Lord taking the church? And what direction is the Lord designed to take those who don't know Jesus for the pardon of their sins? And so we was considering words of exhortation from the pulpit and how the pulpit is designed to demonstrate righteousness and holiness and the Christ-like character that all men, especially those who have rendered gospel allegiance to Jesus Christ through the obedience of the gospel, they have the responsibility of having that particular mindset. And so this morning we talked about eternal truths and how those eternal truths need to be thought on, need to be a part of one's life. And we talked about how the pulpit has the responsibility of preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God. And so the first point that we looked at, and I'm just saying these things for those who are not here this morning. The first thing that we looked at was the holiness of God. And so how God himself, according to 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, is holy. And the one that has called us to holiness is holy himself. So the very thing that he calls us by is the very thing he desires for us to remain in and to mature in ourselves. But then we also talked about exhortations we must be reminded of. And we was looking at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And how we need to grow past the fundamentals of the faith. Now, when we grow past the fundamentals of the faith, we need to get to a point where we are studying God's word for ourselves, applying it to our lives for ourselves, putting ourselves in a position to teach others, and we can't stay on the milk all the time. We got to get to a point where we are developing and growing and maturing to a point where we're not just wanting to hear the fundamentals. We got to be able to hear some of the hard things, some of the difficult things that are necessary in order for us to really deal with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, to be able to be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks us of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. And so we talked about that on this morning. And then finally, we talked about encouragement to continue considering the goodness of God and how God's goodness is what really leads us to repentance, and how we have the responsibility to take that goodness and use it to confess fault, use it to make sure that we understand who God is, use it to make sure that we are bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. And so we talked about those things on this morning. And these are things that we said this morning that we need to not only expect, but demand from the pulpit. And anyone who is teaching the word of God, we ought to be demanding and expecting exhortation, reproving, rebuking, as Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, really 1 through 8. We want to make sure that we are demanding these things because it's incumbent upon us to grow. And it's necessary for us to have the mind of Christ. So for those of us who are here this morning, what are some things that we need to be considering when it comes to exhortation, encouragement, instruction from the pulpit that will help us to grow and help us to remain faithful? What are some things we need to consider? Ponder that for me. Go ahead. You know, we're fortunate to have shepherds here, elders, pastors, bishops. When I was in preaching school, most of the instruction was from the perspective or vantage point of a minister going into a work and having an eldership. But I learned quickly that as I was going out doing teaching and preaching and other ministers as well, that most of the congregations didn't have elders. And so sometimes I would go back in class. I'm like, so how do we work with a congregation without elders? You need those type of exhortations because it's a totally different dynamic. All right. So excellent point. We appreciate Leon and Evan on last week as they were dealing with those particular subjects as well. Anyone else? Anyone else? What are some exhortations that we need to hear that's going to help us to have that, if I could say it this way, stick to it mentality? Because if we're not careful, we can allow the cares of this world, we can allow the evil one to, if I could say it this way, penetrate our minds and cause us to want to leave the faith. So what are some things we need to hear that's going to keep us encouraged? Multiple members. Mm-hmm. Good. That's right. That's good. Anyone else? Jamie, you got your hand up? You want to repeat that?
When members of the congregation reach out to you during the week, having noticed your absence from services, just checking in, making sure everything's okay, that they, offer themselves to you if you're in need or, prayers or what have you, and multiple members, not just one.
Good. Yes, Brother Leon. That's good. Jamie, did you want to complete that thought? Yeah. Yes. I appreciate that because, like, the second point was exhortations we must be reminded of. Things we already know. And Peter on one occasion said, as long as I'm in this tent, this tabernacle, this body, you know, I'm going to remind you of those things. I'm going to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And sometimes as people, we don't like to hear the same things. I know this is an old preacher joke, but it's still true. He said the preacher kept speaking on repentance. Every week he was speaking on repentance. Every week, repentance. And members got mad and said, hey, when are you going to speak on something else? When you repent. It just made sense. When you repent, then, you know, I'll speak on something different. And so when we think about reminding, it's good to speak on those things that we've already talked about. Yes, ma'am. Yes. That's right. Good. That's right. So this morning we talked about the holiness of God. We talked about the fear of the Lord, and we talked about the reasons for salvation. First point. Okay. So when we think about encouraging one another in the eternal truths, we have to keep in mind that God is holy. We have to keep in mind that the fear of the Lord, really, that's where it all begins, respect for God. And we have to keep in mind the truths concerning salvation. That has to constantly be in the forefront of the congregation. If the holiness of God is not in front of the congregation, the fear of the Lord is not in front of the congregation, how to be saved and stay saved is not in front of the congregation, then you'll find the congregation really drifting off of you. Every day I need to be considering in my own personal life, in my prayer life, meditation life, the holiness of God. Let's look at Psalm 36, verse 1. We noticed that this morning. Why do men sin? Evan, when you get that, I want you to read that. Why do men sin? And when we think about why do men sin, why do I sin? Psalm 36, verse 1, what does the Bible say? No fear of God, no reverence. And so this is why we constantly have to be maturing and growing and developing our spirituality and our mind, because if we don't, we'll find ourselves becoming very irreverent toward God. And one thing that I remember growing up, the older people used to always say, watch your mouth. Well, in order to do that, you got to watch your mind. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, 34 through 37, for out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. And so these are the type of exhortations that the pulpit needs to always keep in front of the congregation. What are some other things? Yes. That's right. Anyone else? Appreciate that. Yes.
You start
two thoughts.
That's right. My initial thought before that was,
That's right.
They were faithful, and it wasn't always easy.
That's right.
And they did it. And so even when you hit this morning talking about the person, it's helpful. An elder is a preacher, someone who's there before us. Remember, I knew some of those same things. I knew some of the same things. That encourages us. Hey, I'm not alone in that.
That's right.
No, I appreciate that. In Job 14:1, it's interesting that Job speaks by inspiration, and he puts all men in the same group. Doesn't matter where you live, culture, who you are. He says, man born of woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. And so there's no way around trouble. There's no way around hardship. There's no way around it. And so when I thought about exhortations and some of the things I said this morning, sitting on the front pew and being encouraged by my spouse to sit on the front pew and learn, because there are many days where I received that encouragement to keep fighting a good fight. And then those few days that I said that I was like ready to throw in the towel, I'm done. Done with marriage, I'm done with being a father, I'm done. And to come and hear a word of exhortation to say, you know what, I think I can make it. I think it's going to be okay. I wasn't exempt from trouble. I wasn't exempt from problems. No one is. For this reason, this is why we have to have that fellowship one with another. That's why it's important to find someone in the Lord's church that you can actually talk to and rely upon. But now let me say this. But you need to put yourself in a position where you can be relied upon too. So you can't be the one that's always relied upon someone. You need to be in the position where someone can rely upon you. Because after a while, a person can only give you what they have, and if they're tapped out, they can't give you anything. Okay? Leon, Maya, I thought I saw another hand, but maybe it didn't. Yes, Leon. Yes. That's right. Excellent point. You know, you think about Christianity and having brothers that you can rely upon, sisters that you can rely upon, that you can talk to, that you can encourage, that study the Bible with, and truly have spiritual conversations where you receive the exhortation to the point that when you get to worship, you can't wait to get there. And again, there are times when you say, okay, I'm just tired. But you ought to get to a point in your spirituality where you are like Peter, what we said this morning, to whom shall we go? You got the words of eternal life. It doesn't matter how difficult it gets because of where I am now. I'm going to make it to worship because there's nowhere else for me to be. But that's the point where you need to get to. Sister Maya and then Brother Royce.
To a point where you can carry the load for somebody else, and that load is constantly being passed throughout the membership, but lessons or preaching on just how to develop a strong mind for yourself.
And to piggyback on that, then let Royce and then Jamie. In Romans 15:1, it's interesting. Let's look at this real quick. I need to make this point, then I'm letting Royce make a point. We then, now I repeated that because it's interesting that Paul says it like that. We then, who are strong, ought to bear the scruples or the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Here's the problem, is when you lie to yourself and you believe you're the strong. Seen it. Like, you know, you're really not as strong as you think you are. Really, you're the weak one, and really, we have to kind of cater to you right now. And I've seen that even with men of renown and status and stature. You're like, you're not that strong, so stop acting like it. It's going to require humility and looking at your life and what's going on up here? Am I really as strong as I need to be, or am I fragile right now? Even the strong at times become fragile and need someone to build them up, encourage them. Brother Royce. Good. Anyone else? What else? Jamie? He usually does. Well, when we were talking about being reminded, there was a point that I made this morning. I didn't have a lot of time to deal with it. But it was dying outside of Christ. Friends, we need to encourage one another to die in Christ. What do I mean by that? There's one thing to dock the doors of the church building. There's another thing to actually have your name written in the Lamb's book. Amen? There are many, many people who dock the doors of the church building, but their names are not written because they're not faithful to God. And Jesus said something on one occasion, many are called, who can finish it? Few are chosen. We want to be part of the chosen. Well, how? By remaining faithful, by being reminded of those difficult things in life. And if you look at Psalm 15, we discussed this on this morning. We read it. I want to hear some of your thoughts on it. Psalm 15, starting at verse number 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Notice the fellowship there. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness. If you're taking notes, put Acts 10:35 in there. And speaks truth in his heart. friends, we got to tell ourselves the truth. The easiest person to deceive is me. And when I deceive myself, then it's easy for others to deceive me too. And so, when I was thinking about exhortations, encouragements, we need to be reminded to tell ourselves the truth. Every day I need to tell myself the truth, that I'm not swept away by every wind of doctrine, that I don't allow myself to be swept away by what I see, feel, and think. I have the responsibility to tell myself the truth. Anyone want to make a comment off of that? Yes.
Studying, encouraging people to study. It is a good thing to not go out there and do something bad, but then to make yourself available to have study with each other, because that's doing good. So the encouragement of pursuing good and what the good looks like. What are good works that the Bible talks about?
Good. Anyone? Acts 10:35. Anyone else?
Yes.
But this is why we have to constantly
hear into the word. And then, as we're adding to our faith, we're putting it into practice.
I remember Mikey saying something one time. He would study something and then go apply it to see if it really worked. I just thought that was pretty interesting, coming from a teenager at that time. And I said, what are you doing? I'm going to go see if this works. Kind of like putting God to the test. I remember one time he came back and said, did it work? It worked. It does work. That's right. It does work. God's word does work. Going back to what Brother Ryan said, it's not that the Israelites didn't believe in God. They just didn't believe God. And so how do I know that I don't believe God? Well, here's what his word says, but I'm not sure yet. Okay, well, you can get to a point where he said, well, I don't believe that right now, but you need to be working toward that. But keep in mind the danger of not believing. The danger of not believing. We also discussed on this morning, I was really wanting to get to this point, and how we need to remind ourselves how beautiful it is to be a Christian. And I wish I could have spent 20 minutes on that point. Because what better life can you live than the life of Christianity? So when we think about the beauty of being a Christian, the necessity of being steadfast, unmovable, the power of being preserved, and the need to not turn around. What are some things that come to your mind as it relates to words of exhortation and remaining steadfast and the beauty of being a Christian? What some things come to your mind right off the top of your head? Say again. All right, keeping the faith. Good, Brother Eric. Anyone else? Yes, Sister Motherwell. Peace. Yes.
Yes.
Evelyn can talk about peace. She's been studying peace for about 2 months now. I've been getting an earful. Anyone else? I mean, the encouragement to hang in there, Randy, when you think of the hope that says, all right, God says, this is what's waiting for you. And no one has ever seen the face of God. Do you know the reward, the true reward for the child of God? Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4, is seeing God's face. In other words, being in his presence. No one has ever seen God. The only one that has ever seen him is Jesus Christ. He came from the very bosom of the Father. And the only thing that we know about God truly is his characteristics. That's all we know. But we'll actually be in his presence. A lot of people want to focus on the street of gold, the walls of jasper. Go ahead. That's fine. We want to see him. Why? Because he's in the church now. But we'll actually be in his presence. Brother Leon. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. And whatever I focus upon is what's going to come out. And this is why I have to gaze my eyes upon him, the author and perfecter of my faith. So I have to set my affections on things that are above. Colossians 3, first couple passages. Jamie. Please be redundant. We need it. Miss Jamie, I've been in the Lord 26, 27, 28 years. Wow. And it's still difficult for me to understand. And in those 28 years or so, I've had people literally tell me this, and I quote, "The love of God is too much for me. It's too overwhelming." And they run from it. Can you believe that? At first, I didn't, but now I do. Because God's love is truly pure. And God's love is designed to bring out the best, not only in you, but those who are around you. It takes you to a height in your thought process, in your living, in your holiness. It puts you in a position where you're willing to give up everything for it. I see why people run from the love of God. I really do. It makes more sense to me now. Because it's too pure. And this is what I hear. And I quote, "What do you want? No one loves like that. God does. And those who follow him." Yes. That's right.
And I think of Genesis 5 when the mind of men were just wicked and they were thinking on evil things continually.
That's right.
And the world will do that to you. Oversaturation of sin and worldliness will get you to a point where you can't even filter in good thoughts.
That's right.
You're just constantly looking. So that's a joy to me.
And I appreciate that, and I appreciate that thought, because that's what needs to come from this pulpit. We ought to demand it. And any time that that pulpit is not exhorting, preaching the word, the gospel, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, the one that's behind that pulpit, he needs to go. He needs to go quick. There's some preachers in the Lord's church should be paying the church. Because they're robbing them. We preach the word, which means that it doesn't always feel good, but it is good. And y'all remember when, especially the older generation, when you was kids and the doctor used to say, now this gonna taste bad, but it's going to help you in a couple weeks. God's word sometimes is just like that. It goes into the mouth, and it's sweet, but it goes into the belly, and it's what? It's bitter. It's good for you, though. Yes, Brother Leon. That's right. That's right. And Brother Brian preached on that first Sunday of this month, was it? Deuteronomy 30, 19 following, Romans 10. 14 through 17. And so those are things we need to think about and consider. Let's end with this. When we think about, again, that pursuit, because God is good, we are encouraged to repent. We are encouraged to confess. We are encouraged to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I made this point this morning, and I just so happened to look to the left, and Leon was there, and we was looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15, and I said these passages have been quoted, referred to, read so many times in the last few weeks. It's just been so encouraging. And he over there, he went, just receiving that encouragement. It was encouraging just to see him over there being encouraged by the word of God. Notice, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Friends, is God's goodness compelling us to do what's right? It should. So regardless of what's going on around us, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And this is embarrassing, and I'm sorry. But Brian, I'm going to use you, Brian, all right? Brian's family been going through a tough time last couple of weeks. But I can honestly say, because him and I, we talk almost every day. And I know it was tough with his mom being sick and everything's going through with their health and all that, and dad, it was a tough time. But the man stayed steady, and I appreciate that. Now, this is why I'm saying this. Friends, we need to be able to see each other stay steady. And staying steady doesn't necessarily mean like that. Man, you're going to have your ebbs and flows in life. But it's that love of Christ that keeps you. And then that man had the nerve to say this. He was talking to his mom, like, dying? Okay, I'm not worried about you dying. I'm worried about you living. He has no idea what that did for me. You know, sometimes people are so worried about dying, they're not even focused on living spiritually. Friends, we need to encourage one another to live for Christ. What does that look like? What does that mean?
to actually live for him, meaning that we're not faking. We're all in. This is all we have. Again, what Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We don't have nowhere else to go. This is it. What you see is what you get. And if not, then I need to go back to the drawing board. If people see me, and this is who I am, wherever I go, then that's a blessing. But we can't be one thing here and one thing here. We got to make up our mind we're going to be the same. And even when the difficult days come, we're going to be like Job in Job 13, verse number 15, Job 19, verse number 25. I know my Redeemer lives. Though he slay me, I will what? Trust him. I'm going to trust him. Any comments? Jerry? Yes. Yes. Amen. That's right. Live for God. Amen. That's right. Amen. Appreciate that, brother. Amen. That's right. God is good. Appreciate that, Brother Jerry. Brother Brian.
I was just going to say, fear. Don't fear God. Fear as in reverence, but the word fear is used, translated in the English for us. And it's used so negatively in Scripture. Everybody in here knows their fear. And I think the most challenging thing for you, for me, for everyone, is to overcome fear. Don't know you're in trouble.
That's right.
Because Revelation 21 says the fear of the Lord.
That's right. That's right. Isn't it interesting that God created us to do hard things? But if you listen to the world around you, you won't make it. And it makes no sense to me how someone will believe or talk themselves into killing themselves, thinking that that's going to be the way out. Friends, that's not the way out. There's only one way out of here, and that's in Christ. If you're going to do it right, it's in Christ. And so, we have a lot to be thankful for. The love of Christ should compel us. And because it will, and it does, we ought to be a people that are just striving not only to be encouraged and be exhorted, but to exhort others. We've got to be looking for those opportunities. Any final thoughts? Any final thoughts? Yes, Brother Leon. Yes. Yeah, I can read it. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Yep.
So the Lord has blessed us, especially here, that we have men that don't mind preaching the word and teaching the word and encouraging and giving the proper discourse from the pulpit, but not just from the pulpit, but just in personal conversations. Because as I often tell young preachers, there's more work than just the pulpit. Most of your work is going to be done outside of the pulpit. Therefore, learn how to encourage, how to teach, how to exhort, even when you're outside of the pulpit. That's why we are the church. And those who are on the outside ought to be able to see us and say, I want to be like that. I want to be part of that. All right. Brother Eric has to close in prayer.